Now, a man joining me on the phone, and I would not be surprised if he sang a verse or two of that last night, is Sinn Féin TD Eoin O'Brien. Good morning, Eoin. How are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
I am well. Eoin, a lot of celebration in Dublin last night, and will be again today and for the forthcoming week. It's a fantastic achievement, and well done to them. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people in Dublin who have nothing whatsoever to celebrate.
That's absolutely the case. And as we saw, homeless figures in July, both in the city and across the country, went up. But from talking to my constituency colleagues around Dublin, and just from my own knowledge in my own office, August was even worse. Like, there's no end in sight to this crisis. And of course, the reason is because, despite the fact that every month the figures go in the wrong direction, the government continues to implement the same failed policies. And until we see some significant change, both in terms of levels of investment in social and affordable housing, as well as measures to prevent families from becoming homeless, then this crisis, unfortunately, is going to continue to get worse.
Eoin, maybe you might be able to shed a bit of light on this. And I'm asking out of ignorance because I don't really know the answer. But you're up close and personal with a lot of... Well, with all the Fine Gael, with the government, why does it appear that they seem to be so ideologically set against building social and affordable housing? I mean, one time back in the 40s, 50s, and I know this gets rolled out every time we talk, that in the 40s, 50s, 60s and 70s, when we hadn't a washer, we were able to build social housing. Now we have a bigger problem. We need social and affordable housing, but the government seems to have set its face totally against it.
That's absolutely correct, and there are two central problems. The first is they don't want to spend the money. So currently government is spending about €1 billion annually on social housing output for local authorities and approved housing bodies. It sounds like a lot, but of course in housing terms it's not. And we need to at least double that level of capital investment on an annual basis for quite some time to build a number of social and affordable homes that people need. The second thing, and it's related to the first, is if the government still believes that the private sector can do this job better. So if you look, for example, at social housing targets over the 6 years of rebuilding Ireland, 80% of so-called social housing tenancies under the plan are actually private rented property subsidised by the state at a very high price through two-year HAP tenancies or four-year RAS tenancies. Likewise, on the affordable side, rather than have local authorities and approved housing bodies build affordable homes to rent and buy for working families whose incomes are above the social housing waiting list thresholds, they have a series of grant aids and other incentives to the private sector to deliver. And of course, what's very clear is, particularly in the likes of Dublin, the private sector can't deliver decent quality homes for anything less than €320,000. So not willing to spend the money, an over-reliance and a misplaced belief that the private sector can deliver. And until that changes, and until we see the government saying it's our responsibility to provide good quality, large-scale, integrated, mixed-income, mixed-tenure housing estates to meet that broad range of social affordable housing, then unfortunately the crisis is going to get worse. Now, there are also issues around measures that could be taken to stem the flow of families into homelessness that the government isn't willing to take, primarily because it's listening too much to large institutional landlords rather than to the likes of Focus Ireland or Peter McVerry or the Simon Communities, etc. So it's not just on the output. We also need to see preventative measures to prevent families from becoming homeless. Simple things like the Focus Ireland amendments that would prevent buy-to-let landlords evicting tenants into homelessness when they're selling the properties. They can sell the properties, no problem, but they need to sell them with the tenants in them, something we proposed at the request of Focus Ireland as a legislative amendment back in 2016.
Eoin, can I just stop you there, Eoin?
But just let me say this. Yeah. If that amendment had been passed, hundreds of families who subsequently became homeless would still be in their homes today.
Eoin, just on that point, and I just want you to clarify something, because our listeners are a rather intelligent group and they will be texting in and they will be ringing in. If you do that, are you not in breach of the Constitution, whereby you're infringing on a person's right in relation to their property?
No, because first of all, the Constitution it does not give absolute property rights. It gives property rights, but they're circumscribed by principles of social justice and the common good. And also, when the state does interfere with those property rights, you know, in a constitutional way, it has to be proportionate. Now, if I was a buy-to-let landlord that bought my property at the height of the boom, I benefited from a tax break. And now that we have a homeless crisis, it is reasonable to say if that same landlord is selling the property, they can sell. That's no problem. They're entitled to do that. But they must sell with the tenant in situ. And that makes it more likely for another landlord to buy that property and that family to remain in a home. So property rights are circumscribed. They're not unlimited. And think about it this way. I mean, what is more important, keeping children out of emergency accommodation or allowing people to make marginal gains in profits when selling their properties? Many cases, the landlords selling these properties aren't making any profit at all because they're paying off debt to the banks. And these are banks that also have received very substantial amounts of public money to bail them out. So it's about time we stood by families at risk of homelessness and stemmed the flow of families into emergency accommodation while at the same time trying to get families both social and affordable homes that they so desperately need.
And of course, it should be pointed out that a lot of the people who now fall into the category of homeless are actually the working homeless, and their tax and a lot of the revenue which was gouged out of them to bail out the banks, these are now the same banks who are returning the favour and saying thank you by way of making them homeless.
That's right. If you think about it, like we've a lot of families, including families in full-time employment, who lose their property as a result of a vacant possession notice to quit. They then have the very difficult job of trying to find alternative private rental, and rent in Dublin are now in some cases up to €2,500. So they've no prospect of renting. They then end up in emergency accommodation, sometimes for 12 or 24 months, emergency accommodation that can cost as much as €36,000 a year for a family. So the system just makes absolutely no sense. And at a time when there are many, many vacant properties, particularly private sector vacant properties, that could be brought into social affordable use, you can really see that the system is just not set up to work in a way that's in the interest of ordinary people, particularly those who, through no fault of their own, find themselves homeless.
Owen, initially when we chatted about setting up this interview with you, and look, I have to say that for those people who are not aware, Owen is at the moment attending the Sinn Féin thinking and meeting prior to the resumption of the Dáil, so he had to step out of that to take this call and chat to us. Excuse me. When we set this up initially, the topic that we were going to discuss was the Cerberus-NAMA relationship. Now, obviously, things have moved on again since that. But can I just bring you back to that? And maybe for the uninitiated, you might do a pocketbook explanation of what happened here, because this just beggars belief.
So the background is as follows. In the 2017 budget, the government created a €70 million fund for the housing agency to buy vacant properties from banks and funds, many properties that had been repossessed during the crisis. They were to buy those properties at a discount and then sell them on to councils and approved housing bodies. Very good idea. We supported it. We think it should have more funds than what it has. And it's a good way to get properties back into use as quickly as possible. The problem here is that there were a stock of properties for which NAMA had the loans, which were purchased by Cerberus, a vulture fund. Cerberus is now selling a larger stock of properties onto the housing agency, which includes 23 of the properties that were originally part of the NAMA loan portfolio. That means that Cerberus would have bought those 23 properties at a discount from NAMA and are going to sell them at a profit to the housing agency, another state body. Now, look, we need to be very clear. We desperately need more houses brought into stock. So I'm not saying these houses shouldn't have been purchased. But I think to reassure the public, what the minister should be doing is, first of all, confirming a number of details. Were these properties previously offered to sell to local authorities back in 2014-15 when NAMA offered about 6,000 properties to councils? And if they were, why weren't they bought at that stage? Have Cerberus made a profit on this? And if so, how much? Because we need to know, was the taxpayer at a loss? And are there more of these types of sales going to take place? Because it makes no sense, one state agency selling properties on to a private entity who then sells them on to another state agency at a profit. So while it is only 23 properties at this stage, it would be a very dangerous precedent. Having said that, we want to see vacant homes brought back into use. So I wouldn't like anything in terms of what I say to dissuade the government from pursuing vacant properties. But we need to make sure that the state isn't getting screwed by a vulture fund. A vulture fund, keep in mind, who probably isn't paying any tax on in terms of capital gains on the sale of these properties. because they are availing of tax breaks that were designed by Michael Noonan and his Secretary General at the time, John Moran, to incentivise vulture funds into the Irish market. We're going to see far more interest in distressed residential assets coming from the vulture funds in the time ahead, and we need to make sure that the public interest at all times is protected.
Owen, this is far too serious as a crisis or an emergency, and even if the government don't want to label it as such, I think, generally speaking, the vast majority of people who know anything about this would deem it an emergency and a crisis. But at the risk of going back on what I said, and I know you're probably not going to answer, but I have to ask, have you confidence in the minister? In fact, I'll go one step further on. Leave the minister out of it if you want to, for the purposes of answering. Have you confidence in the department?
Well, first of all, I've no confidence in Minister Owen Murphy, and that's why Mary Lou MacDonald is just about to announce at our thinking here that it's our intention to table a motion of no confidence in Owen Murphy in the next number of weeks.
So there you go, folks. That's an exclusive for Near FM. We're the first to get that one, I think.
The real issue here, of course, is the government policy. The government policy is failing. But Owen Murphy, who's the man in charge, should have the wit, go to Cabinet and say, this policy is failing and it needs to change. And unfortunately hasn't. And I think that's because he doesn't understand the depth of the crisis and he doesn't have a sense of what needs to be done to resolve the crisis. So not until we have a significant change in policy, increase in investment and measures to protect people in their homes, are we going to see a change. And if that requires us to have a change, not only in the minister, but in government, then so be it. I have a strong view that there are solutions to this crisis. We present many of them. Other people in the NGO sector, in the academic sector, have put forward credible solutions. But the government just isn't listening. And that's, I suppose, the reason why we'll be tabling the motion in the coming weeks.
And to extrapolate it out on into his actual department, because, yes, he's only one man, but there's an entire body of people within that department who have been there, and you know and I know they're referred to as the permanent government. They must be of a similar mindset because they're not doing anything either, it appears to me.
What I'll say to you is this, I'm always uncomfortable when ministers and senior politicians blame civil servants. I'm not saying the civil service isn't without blame or there aren't issues there, but ultimately the buck stops with the minister and the government and the policies they're implementing, and that's what we need to see change. And if there are issues in the department or if there are issues of personnel, they can be dealt with. But ultimately, governments are elected to implement policies and to improve the quality of people's lives. Fine Gael under both Enda Kenny and Leo Varadkar, and housing under Simon Coveney and under Owen Murphy, are making people's lives worse right across the spectrum in health and housing and childcare, the assault on rural Ireland in terms of closure of post offices. So we desperately need a change. And well, obviously the motion of no confidence in Owen Murphy is to express our lack of confidence in what he's doing at this stage. Ultimately, we're going to need a general election and a change of government if we're going to turn this country around.
Owen, is it possible, under the current political climate, that this vote of no confidence could force Fianna Fáil into voting with Sinn Féin and thereby bringing down the government?
Well, if they don't vote with us, if they either support the government or they abstain, then what they're saying is what Owen Murphy is doing is okay. And of course, that is exactly what we expect them to do. They have been facilitating Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael policy on housing, health, etc. for the last 2 years. They have supported two Fine Gael budgets that have underinvested in social and affordable housing. And they have blocked measures such as the Focus Ireland amendment that I mentioned that could have prevented families from becoming homeless. So they're as responsible for this housing crisis as Fine Gael are. And that's before we start talking about their role in the crash. So look, they'll have to decide what they're going to do. They'll have to justify that to the electorate. But we've decided now is the right time to take this move. And then, of course, in advance of the budget, we'll be outlining our detailed alternative proposals, fully costed, for how to tackle the crisis in social and affordable housing. And then people can make up their own minds on who they think are doing things correctly. Tony, listen, unfortunately, I am going to have to go back into this meeting, I'm afraid. So,
just before you go, one question for you, and I'd like you to clarify this to see am I right or wrong. Since we spoke on the phone last week, am I right in thinking that I heard or saw somewhere that there are now three families per day, not people, families per day becoming homeless in Dublin?
There are four families per day becoming homeless in Dublin at the moment, and I would say the figures for the end of August will be even worse than that.
Owen O'Brien, on that note, I have no doubt we'll be talking to you again. Good luck with your thinking, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thanks, Owen.
Thanks very much, Tony.
Bye-bye.
Bye.